Let's enter these gates with thanksgiving, a heart. Let us enter into these courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. So we've entered into the gates with thanksgiving down in the heart. Entered into the courts with praise. And we say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice. Can you sing it one more time with me? So we'll enter into the gate with thanksgiving down in the heart. Enter into his court with praise. Say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. You can be seated. I'm just gonna have a little chorus this morning and then talk to you. We're going back to Revelation 4, to the open door, because right there is such a great, wonderful heap of the glory of God that it would take so many years to expound. And we're just trying to bring enough to where we can form a continuity in your mind. And I'm just trying to get over a little of the word. The fourth chapter, and I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And then when this door is open in heaven, we go just a little bit farther, and we look in the fifth chapter, and then it says that there was one sitting on the throne that had a book in his hand. And then it was said, as you've heard me bring it out a number of times, that this book was sealed on the backside with seven seals. And when we think of that, we think, well, you know, that's really something. I'd like to know the Bible. I'd like to know about this book. And I'd like to know about the seals, and all of this is good. And so we read and we learn. If we was in college, if we was in school, if we was in seminary, whatever it might be as to study religion or whatever it might be, the cultures of the world. See, we said, well, I'd like to know that. So we read, and we got the word, and the word tells us, and there we are. So we say, now I know what the book knows. I know what the book knows because I read it. Now, I can quote it to you. I got a photostatic mind, someone would say. I can quote it. The Bible, the books, it don't matter what it is. I know. Now, that's great. That's wonderful. You know, if you got that ability to that, it's great. And the Bible said, study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth, and that's good. See, I'm not critical of that. But folks, that's Startina. You want to go farther than that. See, Jesus said, I would have gathered you as a hen would her brood. You know, he wants to give you a little startina. All that is startina. You just got a starting point. But that's not what it's all about. And when I read to you, or I quote to you, or I refer to scripture, I'm referring to a literal page of a printed page of ink and paper. And I'm referring to an expression that was given. And though it was given by God, the Bible said he veils himself in darkness, but he is light. And the intellectual letter of the law killeth. It's only a shadow of that which is to come, which veils the light. And God, having created darkness to form light, as we brought out in a few little illustrations, that means that within the nucleus, that's where the power is. See, and if you just get the letter, then I say, and there was a throne, and there was a book, and there was one sitting on the throne, and there was a lamb that came. And that's good, because you now know that. You have an intellectual imprint, an indoctrination of this letter and of the Word of God, which is so beautiful. But folks, you haven't got started yet except on the little startina. So then you have to get that, and you hear that, and that's good. And I have to tell you that. So you have to be patient with me and listen to that. And then if I refer back to it, you have to be patient and listen at it again. Somebody said, but I done heard that. And I know that. I know that. But see, a lot of reviews are required. And going back to this thing, you haven't even scratched the surface of it yet. So what you're doing, you're hearing this, and we're trying to bring it to you, because what we're doing, we're speaking to you on a level as to the startina. We're speaking to you on a level of intellectual indoctrination. We're speaking to you on a level that you're acquainted with, of something that you live in every day, and that's your intellectual thoughts. Because all day long, you're intellectual. All day long, your thoughts are intellectual, unless you get into the revelation. And the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For I'm a spirit. I'd like to speak unto you as unto a spirit. He told the woman at the well, God is a spirit. When she was talking about worshiping God, we worship over here in the mountain. Her father said, that's what we should do. That's fine, Jesus said. Nothing wrong with that. He said, but woman, or you could have said lady, if she'd have been a lady, but she wasn't a lady. But he said, woman. He said, you know, all that's fine, as we say. He said, but God is a spirit. And he said that the day is going to come when you're going to have to worship God in spirit if you worship him at all. And the time now is. That is, he was standing there, and the time was at hand, because God was in Jesus, and Jesus was the fullness of that spirit. And he was saying, I'm going to rend this veil, and when I rend this veil open, the light's going to come out. Like Gideon in his day when he broke the little clay pitcher and out came the light. And it's going to blind all the world, because they are in an upside down condition. They are blinded by this great light, as when it shined, Paul's eyes scaled over. And he had to go to the street called Straight, be baptized, wash away his sins, come through the veil of Calvary to get over into the land of light. I know these things sometimes sound strange when we say this, but I'm just trying to bring something to you to where you can understand. And I can only say to you, as I collect your thoughts with the natural as to this intellectual, and then start rending the veil and getting down into the nucleus and getting down in there as your subject, as my subjects, as to God's subjects, and we're his subjects. And I'm trying to tutor you to the extent that we're for the perfecting of your faith, to make you know these things as to the mysteries. For the mystery is that hid within the nucleus. It is the child hid within the womb that's the mystery. You know, and the only way to understand is to take the x-ray and go in there through that strange light, and then you can tell as to whatever. Otherwise, as Solomon said, ye know not how the child forms within the womb. You don't understand it. And everything centers around the birth, because that's what it has to do with, is to being born again. And the first birth as to the wrong thing, as to iniquity. And it takes a lot to go into it, and it takes clean minds, and it takes people that can realize the virtues and the purity, thinking on virtue and the holy things. Though it's common with you to have subjects as to birth and children and talk about it and all these kind of things. You know, but when you go into it that way, it's still in the form of iniquity, though God allows it. See, but the thing is, it's still iniquity. And iniquity did my mother conceive me. And when you come to the godly part of it, it's when the Spirit explains it and explains what it's all about to let you know the beauty of it as to the multitude of his thoughts and how the world has mucked it up with a sinful, adulterous generation. And God has allowed even to this that the bed of the marriage is undefiled in all because of the dispensational grace to allow for this, though it's still the act of iniquity as to the abased and to that which is the fallen. So when we come to these things and we go to try to explain it, it makes it very difficult. But when we look at it and we realize what we're trying to say, I say over here in the garden, here Adam is and here's life in his loins and it's right side up. And then it's passed into the vagina. And from the time of the fall in the garden, Adam being the son of God, as a figure of him to come, the seed, the semen, as it goes into the vagina, then it goes into an era of darkness from the fall of the garden, because now they've turned to the tree of darkness of intellectual reasoning of good and of evil. And now the light is poured into the mold of the darkness that God created for this purpose. And now they're in the era of darkness, evening time as reckoning time from evening till morning. Now it is evening time and God's walking in the cool of the evening. And now the semen falls into the wound. And from this fall, from the time that Adam falls into it, it means that Eve, like the black widow, has swallowed him up. That's why I use the little terms as to the allegorics of the little red spot on her. And she's poison. She is poison because she is the body of the serpent. And poison of asp is under her lips. And it's a bad situation. But at the same time, see, she represents the flesh, which is the woman, with the poison of asp. The Bible said the woman minces with her feet as she goes. She moves her body to attract attention. She catches a man with her eyes, which means all of this goes back to the flesh. That's the way the flesh does. The man does that. You know, he's enticing. He does those things. And now it's a sad situation. The Bible said in the latter days there'd be seven women to one man. And then just a report in just the last day or two, they say, I believe a statistical thing of what I was told, that's 13 women to one man. But anyway, it's a bad situation. Now, when you look at this, this does not discredit the woman. It shows the woman in a beautiful place as the temple of the living God, which is the glory of man, and man as the body of the Lord Jesus, and Christ in his glory to reproduce his image. But it also shows that if a woman is wretched, that she is the world and she is a whorish thing, like that thing of the act of Eve and not the Virgin Mary. And her husband is a worldly thing. If he is, it shows that he is the figure of the devil. And so then it shows them and that their children are born in corruption and they're unclean in the sight of God, because your children are unclean unless there's at least one companion to where they can be sanctified in the sight of God, because in iniquity did my mother conceive me. And therefore, everyone that's born into the world, the child has the spirit of foolishness in him from the start. And then when we look at it in Revelation, we see that as from the garden, man is upright as to the life within the loins. When it passes to the vagina as the fall, as from the fall of the garden all the way over to Calvary, it is a dark period. It is the night. It is the child hid within darkness of the wound and cannot be seen. Now, when the child is in there, he's upright. But during that Karen period, which has to do with the blood rim as to the woman, during that Karen period, that child will turn. And that child will gradually turn till it's upside down, because when it's born, it has to do with the casting out of Lucifer, or as it was with Peter, as history says, he was crucified upside down, having to do with the Jews. And of course, when Paul met him, he blamed him to his face, saying he was to be blamed, because Paul had to do with coming out of the veil of under the law of the woman, and blaming Peter by Peter going back under the law, bewitching the Galatians, saying, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth and crucified, having begun in the Spirit. Are you so foolish to think now you can be perfected by the flesh? Peter getting afraid because the Jews had come up from James's house. So then that meant that Paul had come into the light, rent the veil, leaving the veil of the Jesus part behind, and now it was Christ. And Peter was like as to James and John. There's the two sons of thunder on the right and left, the Esther said. And now here was the real sons of thunder, Elijah and Moses. And then there was Jesus. Now there's Peter, James, and John, as in heaven, so on earth. And Peter thought it was a trinity. So when Paul blamed him to his face as to the one God, as we say, as the same as the trinities of today and the one God people of today, one God, one faith, one baptism, that's the way it is with the Jews, all baptized in the Red Sea unto Moses and the cloud unto Moses. One God, one faith, one baptism, and that's the way we are. Not a Trinitarian thing. It's something that takes the name Jesus. Whereas in a Trinitarian world, they don't take the name Jesus. They don't accept the name Jesus, so they don't have the remission of sin. Though they talk about the name Jesus, but the Bible said to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. For baptism is given for the remission, and remission is in the name, and the preacher is the doer of the remitting. He either retains or remits. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained, because it is the priesthood, as the Old Testament, giving remission as they did in the slaying of the lamb. And now there's a change of the law of necessity, a change of the priesthood, and God has made us kings and priests under our God, that we should rule and reign forever. Judgment beginning in the house of God. So Paul, go down to the street called Straight, and the scales will fall from your eyes, because Paul realized there were scales. And when he saw these scales, he realized that there was a veil over the minds of the people as to the veil that was over Moses' face, saying, and they could not steadfastly look unto the end of that. That's to see the light behind the veil. They couldn't steadfast look unto the end of that light, which is abolished. And when he said abolished, he said Christ hath abolished within his flesh the keeping of ordinances and commandments, fulfilling the law and all that that's required, giving us his Spirit as the fulfillment within our heart, which has much revelation to it. And then when it is given to us, then that means we fulfill the law within our heart, our thoughts being the means, while accusing or else excusing one another. Paul had a dispute with the Jews over this. So when he looked, he saw that this veil had been rent at Calvary. And as I said, looking steadfastly into the face of this wonderful revealed light, we're changed from glory to glory into the very image, because now immortality has been brought to light, and this is the light as to the light of the unveiled face. This is the light in that you're the light of the world, and you got to break the clay pitcher so it can shine, and when it shines, it hits the valley as it was in the days of Gideon, of those of darkness, and their eyes won't dilate because they can't see light. They're creatures of darkness, and they go blind with light, and then you can pounce on the enemy as Gideon did, and you can completely do away with them. So all at one time, God's going to break this little clay pitcher, which will be at the change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And everything's going dark and going blind as far as all them that's looking. And as marching around the walls, as Joshua, they're walking around the walls, they sound a trumpet. And another preacher sounds his trumpet. And another preacher sounds his trumpet. And they sound the trumpet. And one day they all get into one mind and one understanding, as like Pentecost. When the Lord came as a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost, they all get in one mind and one accord. When I bring Zion again, they'll see eye to eye, walk hand in hand, won't break ranks. And the little flock will come together, and all of them will sound their trumpet, and it'll be like it was when John saw Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, the voices like many waters. And people like underwaters. And the trumpets will sound, all will sound at one time. And the intellectual walls of diplomacy, it'll fall. The governments and powers of the world, it'll fall. And the government of God shall arise. And the firstborn shall serve the younger. And the birthright will shift as to the government, as to the church, which we could say hundreds and thousands of things about. So when we are talking to you, trying to express how that the semen fell into the wound, it's in the veil. Because when Eve, as the black widow, swallowed up Adam, he was within the veil. And it was the woman taken out of the man as part of his body or his flesh. I say again to show us a type of the spirit in the body. The woman being the body, the man being the spirit, which is the mind. And when we look at this and see that she did that, that means that when the seed comes, it's got to come out of the woman. And so then it comes out of Mary over there when this thing comes to pass. It has to come out. He was the seed that went into the womb because he was a figure of him to come as to the illumination of the Shekinah being innocent and not being in the transgression. But for the sake of the woman, he was put among the thorns, as we see those on Jesus' head. He was among the briars. He was out there to suffer for her sake. And he took her blame as to her sin, even as Jesus took our blame, that there be no sin to the flesh. And that's how the terror gets in. And that's how the worm climbs up into the upper lintel as to the flesh. Because God took away sin, therefore every sin is without the body. To do that, to deliver the woman, and it allowed the terror to do that, and the worm to climb up into the upper lintel, which is the woman or the flesh, the bodily part or the intellectual, which is the infiltration of diplomacies with the Einstein and like this infrared and these things is called the Apollo, like the bottomless pit. The Bible said the king of the bottomless pit is the Apollo. That is, his name is Apollos. And he's climbed up into the upper lintel to make the little nest on the moon as among the stars and said, though thou climbest up into heaven like a worm, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Even as to the intellectual, when they started up and that school teacher was in there with them, and then the thing burst into flames and down it went as it landed in the ocean, which is called the bottomless pit, to the extent of the creeping things down in the bottom in that they've never fathomed the bottom of it. And in that day, the Bible said there'll be no ocean. There won't be no sea except the crystal sea in the time of the celestial. So when we see this, then the semen goes into the wound and it starts turning. All the way it's turning. 2,000 years of water, 2,000 years of blood, 2,000 years of spirit. We have to kind of formulate to drop in a 1, 2, 3, or you can't even understand what we're saying or what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So we see when it drops into the vagina, then it begins to turn. And as I said, by the time it gets to Calvary, it is upside down. And Peter, being the one that was cast out on his head while Paul went up to the heavens, here Paul is in the world of light being Christ, he's right side up. That is to say, when you come to the deliver of the child, which is the birth at Calvary, baptized in the water, the blood and the spirit, then the birth, the new birth, when it comes to that, it's coming out of the era of darkness, which means the intellectual infiltration of that thing which is in the woman. It's coming from that now, and the life that was right side up in the loins that went to the vagina that's moved gradually, got upside down. Now it's coming to Calvary, and as it comes to Calvary, as Paul being the Christ coming out of that, him being a Jew, now he comes out the new birth, and he blames Peter to his faith, and now Paul is right side up, and that's why he blames Peter. Because when the child is born, then it stands right side up when it's able to stand up. Or it's caught up in the father's arms. So it has to go through that. Once it goes through that, and during that time is where your placenta comes in, or the umbilical cord, which means feeding the child. As to the mother, through the osmosis, feeds the child. And because of that, there's not a drop of the mother's blood in the child. Not a drop of the mother's blood. And that's why that we get the word nikiho, or some of the Greek words, whereas. And when we speak of this, like the children being partakers of flesh and blood or bone, Jesus Christ was partakers of the same, and yet partakers, but not all as the original rendering of the word, because when we come to that, he was partakers as flesh and bone, but not of the blood. He had new blood. So when we understand that the child is this way, so that God can show as a type, that it's not the blood of the woman. It's not the blood as of the church. It is the semen of Christ in our heart as to the impregnation of the heart, that it might be of God as to the life of God and the blood cell of God, which is the semen that was taken between the cherubs as to the Libyus right there at Calvary, as Christ himself went in between the cherubs and going between the cherubs went straight into the holiest of holies and placed that blood cell right there in the presence of the Father. Now, I know that gets over your head and that gets beyond some of your understanding, and not some of you, because you understand what I'm saying. So with this, you know, that means there has been a circumcision, and the circumcision was the putting away of the veil, where it says, rend not your garment, but your heart. And yet they rend the garment to expose the naked body, to show that with the rending of the garment, then that was hid was revealed. Or the sign of circumcision that was given to Abraham because of the faith, saying while he was yet in uncircumcision, you must be circumcised. And then when it came to be really what it was the heart. And when the semen really came, it was to be in the heart. And a conception of the heart as to what it would be, not by the stem of the exhilaration or the state of ecstasy that comes from human sensation of their senses, as it was with the beast to bring about a beast birth or a birth of iniquity as to have a seed by means of the woman. Not that, as Cain was, who had to go away in the land of Nod, which represents the Gentiles cast out at Calvary as the seed of the serpent. Not that, but that of Abel, and that of the blood that cried from the earth, saying how long, as in Revelation 6 and the sixth seal, or as to the replacement of Christ, to replace the holy, godly Jesus, to bring forth the lineage. That is to say, we see one as a beast, Jesus becoming sin, to be made as the beast, as the first man, the fallen. And then we see one as Jesus before he becomes sin, as the holy, godly Abel that was so pure and virtuous from the manger, lived the perfect life, took this thing back into heaven as the bodily works. And then there he is, the precious Abel, but they killed him and took his blood. Then the Cain is to the casting out of Lucifer, whereas one having to do with the beauty of God, one having to do with the darkness, as to the light and the darkness. And so then when we look at it, we see another one as to the Jesus, first that was holy and godly, falling into the veil as the seed as to the darkness, whereas God withdrew as to the light, and he becomes the sin to show, falling from where he walked into paradise between the cherubs on the mountains, perfected, restoring the church back as it was, Adam the figure of him to come. And then all of a sudden he steps down to show the fall of Adam. The light departs. He goes to Calvary. He dies so that we can come from the manger of this world of beast where we fall into in the first man Adam and go straight back into glory by faith as the children that comes out of Egypt across the Red Sea through that of the unleavened walk, that is getting rid of the intellectual mind, not mixing the leaven, which represents sin, and walking right on through there till we overcome that thing as to Jordan, which is the intellectual death, to be carnally minded death, going over that into the promised land of this which is faith. It's a faith walk all the way from Egypt over to promised land. And the Bible said, and these that did not go into the promised land said God was wroth with them because of their unbelief. And he swore because they murmured against Moses and because of their unbelief. When Moses was a perfect man, they found fault with him. And the Bible said he was faithful in all of his house. And Jesus, he'd been a type of Jesus. It showed that. And God got upset and cut them off. He cut them off like he's going to do this generation. And he wouldn't take them into Canaan. So the elders died in the wilderness. The youth come in to show the new birth. Now, when we say this, I'm saying that when we see Abel in the righteousness of the life of the Lord Jesus, perfected as the body of the church, that's one thing. When we see him and the light departed as he and the fall showing it there from this beautiful garden after he walked in between the cherubs, So he put the blood on the seat of atonement as the righteous semen of God. And then when he left from among the cherubs had been swallowed up in him, saying, not a trinity, Peter, because I'm making myself twain, both Moses and Elijah, law and prophets. And then when we see this, it's a beautiful thing when we get to the church ages that he went in, he put the blood on the seat of atonement as a whole, as a purity. As Mary, when she went to touch him, he said, see that you do it not. He wouldn't let a woman touch him. No sensation. I've not yet ascended to my Father. He said to Thomas, thrust the hand forth into the wounds. See, because it was a man, that's whatever. So, not that we say that Thomas did that, but it was just the difference in the approach to show what had happened, the woman being defiled as to the fall, and even Mary Magdalene, out of whom he'd cast seven devils. See, this means that if there was a righteous Jesus who walked so, then that was Abel that had to die for us, the lamb without spot. Then there was a Cain, and if this was Cain, then it was when he was made this serpent as that was hung up in the wilderness upon this serpent that kept the other serpents from biting the people. And he was hanging up there, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, as Judas that took his own life because of this. And Jesus, falling into that perspective to do away with the curse, he hung on the tree. Now, when he did this, the Shekinah glory departed from him that he had brought back of that Shekinah that Adam had left, because he was now showing the fall after that Adam had been in the garden with the Shekinah. Then when this fall came, then the darkness was upon him, and the woman cried out as to the body, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? I wish we had time to detail these things in detail in the many hundreds of beautiful thoughts of God. But anyway, when it comes to this, here it was, the Christ pulling away from the Jesus. And that is making in himself twain. The veil had been rent in twain. Now the body and the spirit was separating, to show that my spirit left my body at my death of repentance. Wretched man that I am, no good thing in the body. Who will deliver me from the body of the death as to the feminine, the woman, that which was the infiltration, and the infiltration being the intellectual mind. Now, this tree of knowledge, this veil of death, those scales over Paul's eyes, that veil over Moses' face. Now, it's rent at Calvary. What has he done? He has separated my spirit from my body, and now the woman is pure. I was married to one, even the intellectual, as to the first man, Adam, as my life. I was married to him as my body. And my body was given to the infiltration from my first birth. But now Paul said, I'm divorced from him because my companion now is dead as the first man, Adam. And I'm no longer his body as the woman is of the flesh, of that of the man. Now I am divorced and I am married to another, even the resurrected one. The one that's resurrected from the dead, which is the replacement of the godly Abel that fell into the darkness as the Cain of my sins. Now he's come to his originality. He's resurrected from the dead, and now there's Seth, and he's the firstborn of the brethren, and in him there comes the reproduction of the posterity of God. And the Bible said, who shall declare his posterity? For he was cut off there like in the midst of the days. So when we see him resurrected, he's at the right hand of the Father, and we see him again as the semen that's gone into the virginia of glory and went right in there, and the seed is laid just as it was in Mary's womb, the virgin womb, when the semen went in and the Spirit of God itself bypassed the human exhilaration and brought the ecstasy of God in the quickening of the great Holy Spirit of this wonderful thing. Now, when we look back, we see this back in the days of Moses. And we see Moses on the mountain. And here Moses is. And Moses, he's up there getting this light. Then it goes into a veil. And the Jews won't look on God because they're afraid they'll die. So they look at it through the veil to show the woman again. As to Moses, the law between the great God of Shekinah and between the subject, I hear. And Moses is up there, and Moses, he is trying to get a revelation. He's trying to get life. He's trying to bring it. He gets in the cleft of the rock. He sees from Calvary back to the garden. And then here he comes down, and all of a sudden they're worshiping a golden calf. And Aaron has made them a golden calf. Aaron being remembered now, still Aaron was of the image of Adam. He was born, still the poison of asp under the lips. There's no regeneration as of yet. But through the type, he received the position as a type of the great Holy Spirit in the reverse with all of his fine linen, the little bells, and all of this holiness unto the Lord on the mitre, and all of this beautiful thing about the perfume that no one could make that represented the prayers of the saints and the prayers of the Lord Jesus where he prayed for us, and the little hot coals off the altar that dropped in there to make that incense that when he went in, it would burst into like boiling water or come up just like a mist inside as to the return of God in a cloud of glory, or caught in there as to the mist and as to that as of the woman that has to do with that as to the state of ecstasy. So when Moses come down off of the mountain, then here Aaron was making him a golden calf. Now, that has to do also with the woman, and that's why that is referred to as it is, even to a man being the flesh, when you say the calf of the legs. So then when he comes off of the mountain, here he is, he's upset, he throws down the stones, he breaks the stones, and then what happens? Being as to the testicles, it indicates no life. And being broken as to the stones, a man could not enter into the congregation. That meant that Moses would be cut off at the Jordan because it had to do with that holies of holies from daylight to daylight. And it meant that Moses with the veil over his face as to the head, it was that as the veil that had fell over Adam the head as to the woman, which was the veil, and the circumcision had to be at Calvary to rend that veil in two and take that Christ, which was Adam, the figure of him to come, the Shekinah that Jesus brought back out of that, in that this righteous Jesus had fallen into the veil of the Cain part, and then the twins come as to making himself twain, and out went of the ark the raven, and out went of the ark the dove. Which indicated that God had in the fullness of time to the promise coming, gathered all things into the body of the ark, saying this is like the waters of Noah to me, or the type of the first dispensational power of water it is shown. And at the second, as to the baptism of the earth with water, the second is baptism of the physical world with blood, because it just requires one ark, just one body, sin by one, righteousness by one. Now it is just one Christ, and we're all baptized by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost with this baptism as a membership of body, collectively speaking, because the promise is unto you and unto your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And this is at the baptism, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Go down to the street called Straight, Paul. The scales will move from your eyes when you get straightened out. Be baptized and wash away your sins. Or that is, get to Calvary, because at Calvary we're going to have a rending of the veil. I'm going to take the Christ, which is the child, out of the woman. And the Christ is coming out of the body of the veil, which was the Lord Jesus, the prophet that Moses was likened to, the Christ. And a great prophet is risen up among us, they said. And we're going to look at this as the Jew perspective, in the earthly perspective of the 483, and we're going to look at it as the Jew perspective in the 7, which is going to make the 490 of Daniel's prophecy of 7 times 7 is the 49, and many things that we've talked to my companion about, and a few others in the sporadics. Now, so when we see this, the child is coming forth. We're going to rend the veil as to the opening of the Libyos or the Matric in the beast world. Now, but the thing is, we are going to cast out that as to the blood of the placenta, because it has to be burned. It has nourished the baby in Revelation 12 when the woman is standing on the moon and the Bible speaks of being heavy with child in the time of the taxing right now as to where we're at. And with this, all of a sudden, there's war in heaven. And there's great war there as to shown by the Star War of our day. And all the children catering to this thing as to both the good and the bad. Because there's two places this is going on in the church as to the children of the church that is in heaven is getting these wonderful things and learning of these great heroic characters that's doing away with the evil. And then there's the allegorics of them that poisoning your children and giving them as to the lying vanities of the Star War of that of the intellectual out there. And in that it's not the revelated real heaven as to the Christ or the inner child being born, but it's the raven. That is to say, out of that ark went the raven, and he fed on the dead floating, that is dead in trespasses and sin. He's never returned to the ark. But this Christ that I'm speaking of as to the dove, this dove came at the baptism of John. And there when Jesus was there and John was doing the baptizing, then Jesus stood and it was said to John, upon whomsoever you see this dove coming and remaining, you know that that's him. And when this dove came, he was taken into the ark because he was the great Holy Spirit. And there was the water as to the ark, water of Noah's day, the baptism. And there was the ark as to the body of the Lord Jesus. And there was the dove as to the great Holy Spirit. And then when Jesus became sin, Satan was trapped in the body, for the light of the dove here withdraws. Sin comes in. And when sin comes in, he's no longer as the dove, as to the Cain. He's the raven that must go away in the land of Nod as to being the head of the Jews to show that. And yet it's the woman with the infiltration, because at the coming of the seed or the blood cell or the blood of the Lamb, which is on Mount Zion over in Revelation 14, she's going to be cleansed. She's going to go through her 3.5 years period of purifying after the child is born and caught up to the throne there, where we speak of the placenta going out as to the red dragon, her blood life, or that defiled blood, or Jesus cutting it off as the woman hanging between heaven and earth that's shown in the 483 perspective of the earth and shown over here in the 7 years perspective of the earth. So in this, we see the woman going in for the purification. We realize the devil is cast out of her, so we know it's the intellectual tree of knowledge, and then she gets her light from God, and suddenly we realize the Cain was the Gentile people of the old intellectual tree of knowledge, where Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and that's why you do the things of the world. You got the love of the world in you, and the love of the Father's not there, and that's why you go back to try to kill me and destroy me, because you are Cain, and you are a beast. That is to the semen of that of Adam, as to the figure of the Son of God, as to that which was righteous, in a symbolic thing of Abel. But then when it come to the real thing, it was Adam, as to the woman that showed that he had departed from the Shekinah covering of that glory. Even Eve had departed from his mind. Then so had Adam departed from the great mind that made him so great as to the life to name all of the beasts. And there he was, and we see that they go into the land of Nod, for the light goes out in the middle of the week, and then the kingdom of the beast is filled with darkness, not even any light of the spiritual things anymore, not even of religion. And it's just an intellectual darkness, and they gnaw their tongues for pain. They're forever out of the presence of God, which is death, as the spirit departs from God. No more under the Shekinah covering of that of the woman as the terror in that at this time to protect the woman, the grace is given. That is to save the body, because we're not changed yet into the image of our husband. Though we're divorced in the mind of God and changed in the mind of God, we've got to be baptized into Christ, put on Christ, find our new birth. And while we're yet in our sins, he saves us through this wonderful foreknowledge as to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world and brings it to light at Calvary as a mortality, that the woman may have an immortal body, being the body of the Lord Jesus and being translated in her spirit, transformated in the mind, to knock down the middle wall of partition, as in the mind, taking it from the mind of darkness of intellect to the mind of light, to reveal as in the nucleus this light from every thought as to the children of the heart, the spiritual one, whether it be good or bad, coming forth out of the heart as to the good or bad, or the children, which is the thoughts of the spirit, whether it be the woman of good or the woman of bad, in that the woman is in the feminine gender, even in the spirit. And two masculines as to Christ, as to Lucifer, both angelics. So then when we look at this and we realize that what the Lord has done is protected the woman, and now the middle of the week and the Jews won't even be there, so there's no need for the blood on the seat of atonement. The casting out, Revelation 12, the placenta goes out, the child is not fed anymore through the woman as to the nourishment of the woman. Now the blood cell has been protected, that there's no corruption in the blood, that when Christ passes through the chambers of hell, it cannot hold him because there's no sin. And when his body goes into the grave, it cannot hold him because there's no corruption. He suffered not his Holy One to see corruption. So when my body went into the grave as to the Lord Jesus, taking my place in sin unto death, that I might be made the righteousness of God unto life, as to the second man Adam resurrected as the new body, I am now married unto the new, even the resurrected, the Christ spirit, because I'm dead to the old and my infiltration's been taken out as to the body of this death. I'm purified like the Jews will be. Jesus showing that as the head in the 483 perspective, the earthly perspective as Christ shows it, and the spiritual perspective as to the spiritual Jew. So when we look at this, we realize that when the middle of the week comes, now it is the birth as to the Jew. And again, the opening of the matrix of the Libyus. And then comes forth the semen as to the child being born, the woman in travail going up to the third heaven, leaving the second heaven, because right now that's where the world is at. The world is in the second heaven, so the devil is in heaven and all of his people. Because as long as the body has not been changed, that is the second realm, because that is the blood realm. And the world is the water realm. And then there is the angelic world, which is the spiritual realm. And in this middle realm is where the problem is, as leaving the garden, coming to Calvary, as the child upside down, which means people that are in the middle realm are like bats. They're hanging upside down. And everything they see when it comes into the eyes, they see it upside down, and it has to turn again to come to the right place. It's right side up. It goes into them. It's upside down. Then when it comes back to go into the understanding, it becomes right side up. So it is the conversion as to, we say, in the right side up, it is a convertible as to that which is perverted. And then when it comes back to the conversion of out of the perverted state, it is a converted state that's back to right side up. So we see this, we say a lot of times it's inside out. And then when that which is the Shekinah goes in as to the covering, as to the life, the breath of life, the semen as to the wound and the darkness, it stays that way. When it comes to Calvary, it comes, you reverse it, it's then outside. Like here it is inside out, now it's outside in, and then it comes back inside out. So when we see these things as the first power, second power, third power, first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, then we see the physical, we see the water world, we see the blood world, we see the spiritual world, the angelic world. Now, the life of the water being water world, that is the life of vegetation being water. The life then of the human physics as to the human anatomy being blood, and the life of the angelic being spiritual. So then when we see Moses, I say again, the stones are broken. He can't go into the promised land. Now, the circumcision, and then the true head is revealed, because the veil has been over Moses' head, the prophet likened to. Now, if the circumcision is the sign of circumcision as to the promised seed, and all in the house must be circumcised, that means that we have to rend the heart. We have to be rent in twain. Our spirit has to enter into glory, into heaven, and then the body has to be left aside, because the skin of the beast, they are burned outside of the camp, saying that Jesus suffered without the gates, that is of Damascus, out there, the fire of consummation, the big altars of God, and whatever outside, it is burning the body of the kalah paradamah that we brought to you concerning the ashes of the red heifer, to the sanctifying of a type. And Jesus, being in the feminine gender, the tabernacle of the wilderness, showed the body of Jesus as to the feminine gender, and being made like unto that which was seen in heaven. So, when we look at this, we see then no life because of the testicles. We understand now the stones are broken. So when Joshua comes, Moses has gone back the second time as to show Joshua, that is to say Moses making himself twain, both Moses and Joshua, or that is to say Jesus and Christ, or that is to say you, the body and the spirit. Going to 1, 2, 3. See, and when it comes to this, Moses cannot go. The thing that Moses run into problems on was when he was walking along as to the innkeeper and would have been killed. And there you wonder why. Then you say, it's because he did not keep the covenant. God called him for a work. He didn't keep the covenant because he didn't circumcise the child. And the woman, knowing that, took the stone, circumcised the child, throwed that down like we said at Moses' feet and said, "Thou art a bloody man." So as to bring the blood, so as to no remission except by the blood. And then he was ready to do his work. So then when he came down to the crossing, he couldn't go over. Now, this means that Joshua was the exposed head, which was the true head, not of the serpent, as to iniquity or gendering by means of the ecstasy of the exhilaration of human senses as to the subjection of vanity and of the world, or that is of iniquity, whereas the conception of iniquity, the Bible said concerning this, Daniel said, and Messiah, he'll come like that form, he'll come like that veil, he'll come as that woman, and he'll make an end of iniquity, because the sign is circumcision as to the promise, drawing nigh as to the promised seed, and then when the circumcised comes, then this will be left over here as to this, as to the serpent, which has to do with human instrument, and over here, the life passing through that, it will be left over here as to the veil, like Joshua crossing the Jordan, and then the exposed head over here that gives life. Once he crosses the Jordan, then that is death, that is Calvary, that is John, that is the baptism, that is this kind of thing. And then Moses is left behind as the Jesus, the prophet, like unto. And then Joshua is over here, and it's not the head of the serpent anymore. See, it's not that as to the iniquity anymore. It is bypassing that to the human exhilaration, going directly in as God would have had the birth in the first place, and not the human sensation of the molecular quickening of which God had to change him over to as an electrical force, as on America, the woman, and all of a sudden the lightning, the kite, and the little cross, and the key, and this kind of thing, as we compact a few things here to try to make you understand as to the conception of the originality, bringing it down to a present-day truth, that when Washington came and Lincoln came, and when we see, as in Washington, we see the redcoats, and we see the blood cells, and we see the white-haired man of Washington, the father of our nation, being the great general, as in his youth. And we see as the first president, as the government comes forth, it was upon his shoulder. And we see a type of the Holy Spirit known for truth. And then we see as history unfolds to us in its allegorics. And we see Abraham Lincoln as not the father but the son. And then commemorating the stature as to the figure, as to the form of the body of the son, it's Abe Lincoln. And when we see it, he says, "And if my grief was given as to share, everybody in the world would have some of it." He lost his children, had so much grief. And then we see a great stride from that, and we see Roosevelt coming in. And when we see Roosevelt coming in, we see Roosevelt is really the one that established America to the extent of pulling it out of the problems back there when it was in the panic and the depression back in the days of Hoover, and when it come out of that. He brought it out by saying, I'll take your money and I'll make your money worthless if you rich men don't turn it loose and give the people some kind of work or food or whatever. And then he set up the WPA, or the PWA, that is to say, let them put parks and made America beautiful, bringing this in. And then he united the nations, the United States as to Washington and whatever, and the colonies and the woman and the stars overhead and the stripes on the back and the moon under her feet as to the law, and these kind of things, all great and mighty in revelation as to your present day status of a third dimensional projection or a third power. And to be able to bring out a little present day revelation, we have to move way over from the first over here to the dimension, way over here to the last of the world as to this that is happening right now, as to the carrying age of the woman and the semen of Washington, or Abe Lincoln falling into the wound of a woman, as to America, the woman nation, since Adam went into Eve, then it's a woman's world from there to Calvary. Now, when it comes all on over, those that bypass Calvary still are fallen from grace. They're under the law. It's still a woman's world, so it comes over to America as a type, and a 1, 2, 3 that would take many days to go into all these things. But when it comes over there, then the carrying period is with the woman. Now we're coming down to the end. We see Billy Graham, and here Billy Graham is the son of the woman, called the son of America. And now he's about to speak to, so said, as a billion people caught up or through this thing of the satellite coming back down like Christ coming to the world. Not Christ, but Jesus. As to Billy, and back to Brother Branham, and what we said about the three, as to Billy Graham, as to Oral Roberts, and as to Brother Branham. And showing this thing again as to the pup, as to the water world, and to the blood, and as to the spirit. Billy Graham as to the water, as to the pup, the cloud. And showing that as Brother Oral Roberts as the blood, in the blood realm and the middle rim, and Brother Branham as the spiritual because of the life that was in him, to show the visitation in this age, of which we could say a lot and wish we could just take one at a time and elaborate just on those three men and what they had to do with this age and where we're at right now as to the sevenfold light. Now, as to the sevenfold light, as to the revelation of Paul that was given as the revelation passing through the dark age or the seven church ages and coming on over to the end as to the expose and as of the semen or what we'd have to say about the seven seal. So when we see this, we know that the end of the world is here. The child caught up. This is called the year of the child. So the child is caught up. Now we see this in the revelation because the three minds is as to Satan's mind, it's God's mind, it's the child's mind. And we see this right now as to the revelation coming to the child, being like as children of the world, called out from among them, doing the dispensational grace to preserve the body until it can bring change as to the grace unto salvation for the change. Then here we are in the glory of God, and the little child is being protected as going through the stages of the mother. All of a sudden, now there's a pulling away, and the church, as the separation of church and state, is no longer the semen within the wound of America. It's pulling away because there is a birth, and the birth was as to that thing when we saw that of Mr. Bush, and we saw that as to the name of Mr. Bush back to Washington, and we saw that happened out here as to the prophecy and the signing of that day, and as to what we have here as a corporation and as a president chartered with the United States of government. We saw this with the White House, Jimmy and Arafat and all that's coming down there. We'd like to, if we could detail this, you'd understand better. Grace's birthday there, and about the Georgie boy, and about Jimmy, and about Roosevelt's son, and then this thing being Oliver Roosevelt and him the one that set it in motion as to the United Nations going out as to the branches of the tree of a government, and then all of a sudden Jimmy correlating the presidents over here and correlating the leaders over yonder across seas as we said he would, bringing them together not to Washington because he's not the president, yet he's playing him up as the president, and he's doing what the president's supposed to do, and there's the birth of the children as to the bad, as to the present president of Clinton, and that one that went up as being caught up. I brought it out in detail to some things we won't go through. That is to the marriageable, and then the woman of the wilderness as to the desert-like wilderness of Israel where the woman went, as to where the stones are over in Houston, as to the crossing, or that is caught up to the moon, as to the woman or the feminine perspective in that the sun is the masculine. many hundreds of things there. We're just kind of running to and fro to get a little line up here or a little continuity to try to later on expound a little bit here and a little bit there and a little more as we get it into your mind to show you what's happening. So then again, we see the raven. We see the dove. We see the same thing in a local thing as a little thing that nobody would never notice. God choosing the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. Out there that they hear this would never know what we're talking about. But some of you would as to the news media is coming in at this time and attacking the work and the other different works as Red said there was his and the others as calling Brother Branham a cult and these kind of things as they did in that day when they called the church witches as to the Catholic power and killed them. Now, we see this in the guitars. Remember when the guitars was given? Two guitars was given here. This is a simple little thing that confounds people. And I hardly ever bring these things in. But I thought since you're listening this morning, I might drop in just a few little things to where you can see it at a little closer as we bring it up in our telescopic perspective to magnify that is so tiny and minute that we can't see it other than through the eye of God or the great telescope of heaven, like the vision I saw when the telescope come down to me. And when one of these guitars went away, remember, it went away with the firstborn. It went out like as from the ark. It went out from Bethlehem. And as to the babe, as to the ark, as to the body. When it went away, it, as far as I know, it went to the rap music. It went to the rock and rollers. It went to that side of the world like the Beatles that devour as to the goods as the little song. And then the dove, when the dove went out, it went over to Olive Branch. We say like the Mount of Olives, the dove went as there at Pentecost. The real promise was when the Spirit came as to the unveiling of the head. That is to say, when the circumcision was over as to Calvary and leaving the Lord Jesus' body behind, then the Christ leaving Peter, then here come Paul. Caught up to the third heaven, one upside down, going out to the Catholic Church to start the problems in the earth. The intellectual veil showing Jesus in the fall, the casting out of Satan at Calvary. I beheld him as lightning fall from heaven. When you say that, going back to Revelation 12, where the placenta's cast out, the red dragon, the child's caught up, the woman in the wilderness, the organizing of China as to the dragon nation and all these others going against the woman, that is the remnant of the seed, which will be during the tribulation period when the Euphrates is dried up as they've already done, as we said they would do, as to the electrical force that they're getting out of that. Now, they can do that at will. So when the guitars went out, it went over, and we'd have to say a lot of things about this as to going over to Olive Branch and what it has to do with, what Pope Mississippi has to do with, what Tennessee has to do with, what it had to do with Junior III and Junior II. And this guitar returned. That dove returned, as we knew that it would. It came back, and then it was given to Grace, my daughter Grace. Whereas there's another guitar as to the dove that came in also. We can't go into all these things because if we did, it would take so long. But if you let these things just kind of settle down after a bit, one of these days we'll be talking, we'll just kind of get one perspective and bring it out, and it'll be beautiful as to the fillers, as to putting the puzzle together. As you very well know, my wife has always been kind of a master woman at putting puzzles together. Hardly any that she can't put together, and she's put together so many I've often wondered how in the world she ever had patience to do it. But she represents my body, and it has to do allegorically with putting the revelation together. Christ puts the revelation together. I represent the woman part as he shares it with me, and Betty like a third thing, but he on the inside, he puts it together, and then he presents it to me as to the woman perspective, and then I present it to the children because the woman guides the house, and Sister Betty allegorically shows these things. Well, anyway, when we get over to this, we realize then that the veil is rent in twain. My spirit went away with God, and the veil is left back. That is the sign of circumcision, meaning that I am part of the promise that in Abraham's seed all nations shall be blessed. For God has rent me in twain, and he's killed my outer man. For O wretched man that I am, who it will deliver me from the body of this death? For inwardly I have a will to do good, outwardly in the woman I cannot perform it, because there's something in the woman that's always contrary to the man. And what it is, it's her daddy, it's her mother, it's her brother, it's her sister, it's the in-laws. She was with the man, she was with God, as in him right side up. And she had the right perspective. As greet my women workers in God, whose name is in God, there at the foreknowledge of God. So she was in the foreknowledge of God. She belonged to the man because she was part of his body. But she had to go through the semen that is of the Father, which is your father in law. And then she had to pass through that under the law to get to that which was her rightful husband, to get back to the first man Adam, as we say, because of the Shekinah, and getting back to him through the second man Adam, the Shekinah, to restore back, walking up on the mountain into glory, coming back to the originality, she to get to her husband, being divided asunder here by sin, as to the veil in between Adam and Eve, the intellectualist of the darkness, the form of the light. Then getting back, she has to go through the brotherhood, her brothers, her daddy, her mother, all these things, and through her age, a lot of times the filth and whatever it might be, and her wildness as a young girl and all these things, and losing her virtue and everything else. Then you have to take her and wash her, clean her up, and bring her back, unless you are as the flesh, showing the woman in that filth yourself. So then, when you bring her, you have to get all that out. You have to get her out. Like they used to take an old possum, they'd put the possum up because he's a scavenger, eats everything. Then they'd put him up and keep him for days and clean all the vomit out of him. Then they'd make a pie of him and eat him. So I know that didn't sound very tasteful. But anyway, that's what poor folks used to do. Now, when we come to this, the woman finally does come out from under the law. The husband goes to redeem her from the law like Jesus did. And then, of course, she don't recognize him as her Messiah. Like Brother Branham said, I'm the king of this castle. But anyway, when it comes to that, she don't realize that he's the savior of the body, that he is the mind. He's her Shekinah glory as to the covering that is in the type. He's her life, and that she is weak, and he gives honor to her as the weaker vessel, like the dispensational grace. But he's trying to bring her the grace and the salvation to the extent of his mind that's right with God, if he's right with God, to give the mind of Christ through him to her as the semen of life, that she can conceive of this and transformate in mind to be one with him. And then when we're baptized into Christ, having put on Christ, becoming one with the Lord Jesus, now we're the temple and not the tabernacle of the wilderness, wandering in the intellectual, as it was with Jesus showing the tabernacle among man in that state, whereas he was made sin. That is to say, as long as you're in this body of the first man Adam, is what Jesus took to be sin at Calvary. You're the tabernacle in the wilderness, the intellectual wandering, covered with the blood, as I said, this little red light through the process of the negative, and it's covered with the blood that's from the foundation of the world, the lamb slain. It's over the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, when you come to this, then you realize to the rent veil. See, it is a change, and you're taken out. Now, let's look at this just a moment. I can't detail everything. If I would, I'd go through it if I had time, but I can't do that. So when we see this as to the unveiling of the Joshua or Christ, now it is Adam as to the Shekinah, whereas the Shekinah, the spirit and the body, the woman and the man. And now the spirit as to the impregnation of Adam, that you conceive of this great, wonderful thing, how shall this be, never having known a man? But she believed, and it was done unto her accordingly. And when the conception comes, then I travail till Christ be formed within you, because we are virgins, set aside from the world. There are 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. We can't go into that. We've detailed a little in the past. Now, when we look at this, we look back. Remember this now in the revelation. And we're going to say the revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's where we're coming from. It's the open door. And we can go back to this and go back to this, because there's so many hundreds and thousands of things we said. Now, when we look at it, we're looking at an ark. We see the ark, and we know that the ark is there. And we see the ark in the stages of Noah. And then we see the rainbow. And then we see the ark in the stages where, as Moses is found, that's the prophet likened to, pointing to. See, he is found in an ark in the bulrush. And then when we realize he's caught up to the throne, then comes the covering cherubs as to kingship, being learned in all the ways of Egypt. Now, when we see it again, we look, we see it in a present day thing in Pennsylvania. Now, we see it up there as to the archive. When we see it up there, then we get back to Maryland. Back into that area up in there. See, and we get back to the archive, whereas in the archive is the writings of our law. The writings of that law is covered there at the archive. See, and we have a brother Jew here that used to live in that area. Now, we had Brother Ron to go up and bring back some things not too long ago. Had to do with our flag being there. And then going to Mr. Reagan. And this present-day truth that we're talking about that we don't have time to get into. If we did, we'd detail it to you and it'd be so beautiful as to the imprint upon your minds. So when we see the ark, then we see the covering cherubs, which indicated the law and the prophets. And it's pointing all the way over to Calvary. But in that ark was Noah with his understanding and the configuration of thought, which was the law that built that ark, or it was his understanding of all these things that was to be brought into the ark, which is the writings for he was to be the government of that world. And then when we see it in the archive, it's the government of our times, whereas it is said in the government as to the Constitution. If any time it becomes corrupt like we've seen it over here with this president, it is the duty of the people to start a new government. And, of course, that's what has happened as to that with the flag going up to Mr. Reagan. And that is to the same signing as it was, as to the same amount of those as in the days of the independency. And as to the hoisting of the flag, as to saying, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, he shall rule forever and ever. And sounding the trumpet, lifting up the voice like a trumpet, the finishing of the mysteries, the kingdoms has thus become the kingdoms of God as to this great mind confiscating and Christ being the kingdom and this mind taking everything into him and the blood taking everything in, even allowing for that as to the bottom of the ark, as to the dark things, as to the sin, as to the raven. The things of the flying as to heaven and the things of the walking as to the side, the cleft of the rock, the open door as those things that are the walking, the flying, the creeping, and these. As in the sea, the creeping at the top, the flying fish, and in the middle, the swimming. See, now, when we see this, then we see everything in a trinity showing itself as a three and a one. And when we look at the government, then it's our duty to do something. So what did we do? We brought in the symbolic thing of this. And who is our king? The Lord Jesus. So he comes in. And then what is our government? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the word revealed. For as the Jews, the natural word of the law. To the world, the intellectual, as the middle wall of partition. To us, the spiritual unveiling of the great mysteries. Now, coming out of the wilderness 40 years, Newt caught up to the chair. Like over in Thomasville, the big chair, there where the picture was taken, the railroad, the crossing, these things that we'd have to elaborate on much. Then when we come to that, all of a sudden he hits the Jezebel. And he hits the Ahab that I said was there. And then there's the stone of that head that's fastened to the mantle. And many things concerning Bill York and others that we'd have to bring in as to a present day thing here. Now, the child caught up to the chair, ruling with a rod of iron, shifting to Georgia. There's Jimmy going with Arafat, these others around the nation. Clinton bringing them, begging, bringing them down to the little White House, back to the thing of grace. Why? Because the tree went up from a root of Mr. Roosevelt, which was in there, that united the nations and died with the pleasure of the people. And then when the tree went out, as to this of Kennedy and 60, and a lot of things we'd have to say, coming down as to what happened from 60 and how that darkness came and that the Protestant era went out or the light went out when we predicted the Pope coming in 66 and then the instigation of the ministry of Time No More. Then with this, he went to New York and the lights went out and indicated the molecular no more. As to that had been changed to, it was time now to change it back to the quickening of God, which is the spiritual word, bringing back the original as to the Shekinah glory of the replacement of the Adam that had failed from this and now coming out of the darkness as to the wound, if we say, as to Joseph the Jew, as to Mary and the seaman there, as to the Catholic, and then coming over to America, and there's the child. Or in the end time when America and the Catholics become one, and then the child comes out, goes over that as to another power of dimension, passing through this of the Jordan of the tribulation period, word, or that is to say the birth, the middle of the week, or times time, and half a time, the dividing of time, or B.C. and A.D. over here in the week of God, as the 7,000 years, 7 years over here as to one perspective, seven church ages here in between as to the dividing asunder, and then bringing in the millennium as the male perspective, the woman carrying period, the child caught up, over to the male perspective, which is the Jew, which is the establishing of the millennium, and going over that as to the swaddling, as to going over the tribulation period. We see this, and we could go on and on in this perspective of trying to explain the conquering of death and the signing of this as to the Jordan of what just happened over in Israel to make way for the woman to go out into the areas of Jordan where they suppose that the ark is hid, or that is into the valley of Petra, as it is supposed. Now, so we see this, and we go all the way back to the tabernacle, because when the 7 years come in, we see the tabernacle again. So it says in the book of Revelation, when John speaks of the tabernacle, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. And I'm just going to say a few words here and try to close. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. Now, we've got this on tape somewhere. We went into some of it. But the tabernacle has to do with the woman or the body of the Lord Jesus, the feminine perspective, which was really Israel. That was really Israel. Now, and the conception as to the child under the veil of the law that Paul saw when the scales fell. And that there'd been a child forming all this time as to a spiritual child. And the woman going into the wilderness at Calvary, the casting away of the Jews. What will the receiving of that woman be but life from the dead, as to be glorified to receive her reward according to the child as her inheritance. That is the Jew coming in, the resurrection, the glorification is the bringing in Israel, that she may have the glorious reign with Christ sitting upon the throne as her son. Now, when we look at this, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony, we're saying the tabernacle, the tent. We're saying the temple, the little 10 by 10 as it would be in the corner of the tent. And we're saying the two stones that was in the Ark of the Covenant. As to what we said about the Ark and how God commemorated it, putting the cherub there to show Calvary and the two prophets. Which means as to the stone, grace coming at Calvary, the smiting of the throne, and then the rending of the veil, the refraction of light, and then the seven-dimensional church ages as to the color, the rainbow stretching over the church ages as to two cherubs as to what Jesus went through when he went up on the mountain to come down to rend that veil to expose to you the knowledge in heaven. That you might look even as in the middle of the week when you saw the great angel confiscating one foot on the land, sea, and in heaven. See, or that is to say when he made himself twain, he divided asunder the law and the prophets, the two cherubs, Paul said, of which we cannot speak particulars in his day. And then Elijah the prophet coming in the 7 years dispensational earth, the 483, the prophet like unto Moses. So we see Moses and Elijah divided and the church ages coming in and Elijah coming over this way as the cherub, Moses this way as the cherub, forming the rainbow of the law and the prophets. And then when it's rent in twain, we see the birth of the child as to the semen, Christ, as in you caught up to the throne according to the measure of the semen of whatever it might be in the blood cell of the new blood cell that came forth. And that through the head as to the spirit, the expose of Joshua, not as of Moses, as to the law or the veil over the face that had to be rent, but bringing it to the unveiled face that could change you. Now, look at it in the tabernacle. Here is a man going in, as to the intersect. Here it is, and he's going into the injection like an artificial insemination is to passing the 1, 2, 3 to the ovals. See, he goes in, but he's still in the form of Adam, the poison of asp under the lip. So we see the injection, we see the serpent, and we see only a type as the veil being moved, which the Bible said, and that could never make the come of thereunto perfect, as to the conscience, because it's got to get into the heart, to rend not the garment but the heart, which there was only a type of us to rend the garment and the sackcloth and ashes, as the Calvary, when the light departed and black as sackcloth the sun became. So then when we look at it, we know then that Jesus, as to the Christ, Jesus, the true tabernacle that God had pitched, not as man pitching that in the wilderness of the intellectual, But now the temple of God in heaven, like Brother Branham over here, he is the tabernacle, as through the wilderness. The fire, as the pillar of fire was over his head, and the pillar of fire being over his head, he was in signs and wonders as Moses with you. I'll be with you, the Lord said, as John 4 on, so it is with you. And now the spirit of Elijah as with John. So then when we look at it, we see that the pillar of fire was over the tabernacle. Peter said, as long as I'm in the tabernacle, the Jewish perspective, as Jesus the tabernacle being made sin. Now, when we look at this and we see Brother Branham over here, then we see him going through the crucifixion of the wreck. We see the glass in his head like the thorns. And we see these things happening to him. His countenance marred more than any man as it would be. As they just said, it was terrible as the way he was according to the physical reports. And yet, before his departure, he came back together, the bones knitted back together as to what it is said, not a bone of his body shall be broken. Now, when we see this, we see what happened to him as to what God had to let happen when that vision of his went boom like that. And he couldn't figure out what happened. But really what it was the crash. And when he saw that little thing in the vision where it jumped, went down the throat, and his problem ended with a stomach problem. See the old colon in the belly, the knowledge of seeing the quotes, all these kind of things, and much we could say about the book, the revelation in John as being bitter to the belly. So when we see this, then Joseph, all of a sudden he looked and he was saved. But the thing is, when the car went crash, as Billy Paul was telling me, the boom, just before that, Joseph had got out of the car with Brother Branham and got in the car with Billy Paul because it had to do with Junior Billy. That is to say, the son as to Joseph and the spiritual part. Brother Branham and Billy and then Joseph as to the first dimension, the second dimension, the third dimension. At Joseph, of course, being different from Billy to the extent that though it was the same father, then there comes a different mother. And so it is with God as to the same father. There is the same as in Abraham, all shall be blessed. And the spiritual son and the natural son, Isaac. Or that is to say, we'd have to go back to the allegorics as to the bondwoman and to the free woman. That is to say, Mitty, and go back to Hope as to Brother Branham's wife. But bringing it down to a present day application. Brother Branham said, when I'm gone, search for the cornerstone of the building, look in there. And he wanted them to look in there because it was something to be in there. All right, well, I got a picture where he was laying the cornerstone. They went and they took that little cornerstone. But there wasn't anything in it. The little can was there and it had deteriorated and wasn't anything in it. Now, that little can represented Brother Branham. He was the cornerstone as the eagle prophet or the messenger of Messiah in his measure coming to the American age as the great eagle nation. And when the eagle nation was over, then come the dove. Now, where I saw the vision, and I saw the vision of all of the Brother Branham following as it would be as to the many as the world was representing, and they were lined up at the tomb, and darkness was coming, and evening was falling because it had to do with the fall of Adam. See, and then I was going to get to them, but there were stones in the way, and I couldn't have a long row of stones. Get over here, and I couldn't get to them. They're there at the grave. Well, that's where we're at right now. See, they're all at the grave. They're still waiting for Brother Branham. They want Brother Branham. Go over in Jerusalem, they're at Rachel's tomb. They're still crying and wailing. The wailing's wall, they're still there looking for the Messiah. See, and here Brother Branham was, the Messiah of the age. As to his measure, Christ in him, the hope of glory. You're standing in Christ's stead, the body of the Lord Jesus. No man after the spirit, not after the flesh. So then, I know he is the body of the Lord. I do it unto you, I do it unto him. So when we look at this, when we see this, then now there lays the little can of deterioration, the body of Brother Branham out there in the grave. They look for the message, but there's nothing in it. It's all gone. The eagle, they could not keep on the capstone of the church age messengers as 127. And going through that, they couldn't keep it on there. Like the song, Ride the Trail Again. And then when Brother Griffin put these things up there as a stone, it's got great significance. So then the eagle would fly away. As one day when we was over there, I said, David, the Lord dealt with me. I said, there's a dove in that car. Go get the dove and put it on the top of that capstone. He took the dove and went over and put it on there. The eagle had flown away.
See, the message as to the woman carrying the child, the carrying period, and now it was over. As to the eagle that came over from the Philippines through Brother Amber and the color of the amber of what it had to do with the coming of the Lord, as when Ezekiel saw it, and then as to the war in heaven when Brother Bradley was bringing it over to the flashing, these kind of things, as the vision I saw where we put together the eagle of the feathers and it was those lined up as pins, and the Lord said feathers, writings as to this are the quotes of Brother Branham, and the woman said the brethren is going to be upset over this. Took them across, put them over here together, Brother Quick. Those things and many things that we've said to you or would have to say to you. Here it was, and I had the eagle together except for the little tip. When the eagle came over, he had broke the little tip, even coming over from Hawaii, like as to paradise. We fixed it, and you can't tell it, and it's sitting right there in what they call the Father's house with the many pillars. He that overcometh, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And they call it the Father's house, which we call it the Parliament house. But there it is in the little white house, as to like Brother Branham having it over here with the quotes, as to the Jews, see, and passing over to the Gentiles, and then coming on over. And then we see it as just exactly that with Brother Cartridge, and how that has to do with the book, and there the little white house, and the brethren down there, and yielding it up. They've been following Brother Branham, come here as Brother Armstrong and the different one, and then the little white house, yielding up the government, which the white house represented to start a new government, bringing us through the corruption, and there sits the little white house right there where the eagle is setting. Now, so Brother Branham said the dove would lead the eagle. That is to say, the spirit itself is what he was saying is going to lead the body. So, the woman nation, the eagle, where we now have the dove. And the dove doesn't have a gallbladder. It can't digest anything bitter. See, so it is now the spirit age coming in, which will bring in the millennium, or that is to say the millennium as to the Jewish age, back to the prophetical age of the eagle, and then the celestial age, which will be the dove, but we are in the celestial age because the Jewish age ends here as to the breach coming in here as to the church ages where we're changed into the spiritual things as to the dove caught up into this wonderful message, and then we ride over the tribulation period and come back with those as to the Jews like it would be as to the body of Jesus sitting on the throne to restore all that the intellectual cankerworm, locust, and caterpillar has gotten and then restore it, and then the celestial will come in of you and I, which is already celestial, riding over the millennium, but over the tribulation, the dove coming out in the new age over there, while in the tribulation, the raven is taken out of the way. That is to say, the Gentiles in the valley of blood. So when it comes to the millennium, we'll be back there, but we'll be celestial in our body, while the Jews will still be natural, and Jesus will be celestial. The 12 will be celestial, and going through that, then comes the celestial, but we're already celestial, already seen New Jerusalem, like John saw it, as to the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we say this, we get back now to a little thought here. Brother Branham, and when Brother Branham went through the wreck, it indicated that a pillar of fire by night, the intellectuals, the diplomacists, the DDs, David, pointing to Solomon as to build the temple. Too much blood on his hand, couldn't build the temple. Like my sister Saul, lighting 6 candles, tried to light the 7th. He had the fire, but he couldn't light it. Because as the girl wrote the song, and he appeared in a new form. See, that is to say, he went down as the body of corruption was sown in corruption, a seed falling in the ground, dieless, it bideth alone. And then after that, the rent veil of the seed. As the little bean, and out comes the sprig. See, that is to bring forth the harvest, nourished by the sun and by the water. I plant, Apollos baptizeth, God gives the increase. So when we look at this, we see the rent veil and the Christ coming out at Calvary. We see the Jesus seed as the semen planted, and then we see the little sprig, tender in the days of its youth, as a tender plant he shall grow up before me. So we see this. Now, when we look at Brother Branham, we see Brother Branham, we see the pillar of fire, we see it by night. Now we're looking over here, like when I saw the pillar of fire, it was way off in the heavens. He saw it as a great cloud, but it was a pillar of fire over his head as a ring of angels. When I saw it, it was so exceedingly high. I never seen a cloud so high in my life. And in the vision, when I looked at it, like as we saw the vision down in Florida where the Lord came, put the ring on our finger, showed us the change, and Brother Branham's death over here in Hialeah, and then changing over to Miami and seeing the vision, and there stood the angel before me. In the darkness, I was this way, standing up, the ring on my finger, the new birth. He said, I'll get you the stone of the birth. Changing, I was standing up, not laying down, looking this way, and there stood that huge angel. Now, see, when I say that, I say it like this. When I saw the cloud, it kept coming down. It was filled with fire, and it was a huge fire. But like a mother rolling dough, pinching off a biscuit, it popped out like a big balloon off of that big batch of dough. And I was trying to pray for somebody, Sam's daughter. I used to call him Samuel. And Samuel had to do with the crossing of the Jordan, the daylight to daylight. I looked up, and when I looked up, there it was drifting down. And I thought, what am I seeing? Because it was so real. There was. And I thought, oh, my God, this is the brightest day I've ever seen. And I thought, what is this? And I looked at that thing, and it started drifting down. And I said, my God, that thing is high in the heavens. And it started drifting. And then I said, it's coming down low. And then I got all tore up, and I said, low. I said, that thing is coming down all the way out of heaven, higher above our understanding than the heavens is the earth. The blood cell, the life in the blood, the pillar of fire, God in the blood cell, God in the cloud bidet. And then all of a sudden, as the crossing of the Jordan, the blood began to leave it. And then it turned, and it didn't turn into a cloud, it was already a pillar cloud, but then it was a cloud, and there was no blood in it. What do you mean by that? Well, the Lord let me know that as in the temple of the tabernacle, when it was open, there was lightnings and thunderings, and nobody could enter into that temple because it was the days of the law. And where the law is, it worketh wrath. And God wouldn't receive anybody. Nobody keeps the law. He didn't receive the Jews. He didn't receive Jesus because Jesus being flesh, no flesh be justified by the law. God was angry with sin, and he smote it. He smote it, and the Jews went out of his presence and still went through the Holocaust, all these things, and have to go through the tribulation because of the smiting. Now, and we could go on and go on and go on. But then when we see this, it was with Brother Branham. It was the same thing in his day. You couldn't get in. Quotes and quotes and quotes. Can't get in. Quotes and quotes. We'll quote you out. We'll law you out. We'll bar you out. Well, there, as I saw the graveyard, Betty and I, this vision came to pass. I was in the graveyard, and I couldn't get past. When I looked, it came to pass. It was fulfilled. They were over here at Brother Branham's tomb. I was in Indiana, and it actually happened. And there I was. I said, well, I won't disturb them. They're over there at his grave, and I'm not going to disturb them. I started to go this way, and they had a fresh grave open, and the stones wouldn't allow that as to the grave opening. And then I said, I'll back out of here. I started to back, and the stones were behind me, and I couldn't without backing over the graves. And something said, you'll go follow it. And then I thought, what am I going to do? So I said, I'll reverently roll up behind them. And when I rolled up behind them, God knows this is the truth. They reverently got in the car. I hadn't said a thing. I hadn't been out of order. I didn't act like I was going to push them out. They didn't know, but what is one other? They just come in, and really that's what it was. Because Brother Branham has to do with this as to that, as to the forerunner, as John and Moses. So when I come up, every one of them got in their car and gracefully went right out. As when Betty and I was there and the police come up, the law, the red light on the top of the car, the shepherd, the police dog in the car, and what it had to do with night already having failed. Well, the same way with this cloud. When this cloud came down, I said, God, it's coming all the way out of heaven. And it came down and stood over my head. The tabernacle in the wilderness, the fire. And it was a temple in the day. Whereas ye are children of the day, coming to Calvary. Wish we had time to go into that. Not the negative, you come out to the positive. And now, as the Shekinah light was, so it is again. And you have developed, and you have come out through the wrestling of those spirits, as to the waters, those things of development under the blood of that red light of mercy, the foreknowledge, and the bad and the good spirits. And now you come out as a positive. No more darkness to form the light. The shell's gone, the cocoon, the metamorphosis. Now you stand as a positive. See, coming through the Brother Branham age. And when the cloud came down as to the crossing of the Jordan, the sun stood still. It was a sevenfold light. So bright it was. And the fire was gone as to the wrath of God. And all of a sudden, the cloud over my head just like a balloon busted and went right into me. When it went into me, it indicated as to Aaron the high priest going in that when he dropped the coal into the little censer and then comes with the sweet smelling aroma of Revelation 8 as to the prayers of the saints had been bottled up, and there stood the Holy Ghost right in the middle as Aaron a figure of that which was to come. When Christ went right into the presence of God as to the injection of that head, as to the spray, as to that state of ecstasy with the woman and the man, is to the reproduction as in prayer when the Holy Ghost comes out of you. That is to say, when you yourself as the second man, the Lord of heaven, comes out when you're praying and the veil drops off as of the circumcision and you go up into the heavens of the presence of God and you feel that sweet, wonderful presence of that heavenly aroma of that spray or that no man can make. Coming down into your mind as to the head, as to the unveiling, getting the old intellectual away, and then the life, this beautiful life. Then this went into me, and when it went into me, then I realized that something had happened, and away went the vision. Away went the vision. And I was baffled for a long time. Then he showed me what had happened. See, crossing the Jordan of the intellectual death, of the veil of that, of the tree of knowledge. Now JT saw out front it was the tree of life, and behind here he saw something like the Ark of the Covenant, of something that had not been revealed, that was now to be revealed. This was where Aaron went in, and when Aaron went in, there was the Ark of the Covenant. We would say many things. What was it in the Ark? The tabernacle here of the temple, that is the skins of the tabernacle, and the body. And here was the temple, the outer courts, the inner courts, holy place, holies of holies, and there was the temple, as to the vagina. Showing this, and when the temple and the semen in there, as to the blood cell of the lamb, showing that of Calvary that he would take right in the presence of God. See, the woman having to do with the tabernacle of the temple, depending on whether she's worldly or whatever. And the man having to do with that as Satan, the seed of the serpent, or the seed of Christ, as to Jesus being made twain as of the serpent, the image of death. Here in this Ark of the Covenant was the testimony. The tabernacle, the temple, the testimony. And John said in the Revelation, I saw the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony open. That is to rend the covering cherub curtains of the fine needlework that the women had made, walking up on the mountain, walking back into where Adam had failed from. There's the tree of life. The dove goes out, gets that leaf, comes back there at Pentecost real quick into our heart, stays in the ark over the church ages down to the millennium of the new world, over that of the Jordan of the tribulation period, as the woman going in the middle of the week to show that. Now the raven going out, not returning, feeding on the corruption of all the bebop of the world, like the guitars. See, so when we look at it, what's in the Ark of the Covenant? It is the testimony. It is the testimony, which is the two stones. The two stones is in there because that was the testimony of God engraved in stone. And it is said, upon this rock I shall build my church. And the stone is the water realm and the minerals that's gathered together that forms the stone as to a father's age. And these stones had to do with the testicles that bring life to the vagina. And then when we look, we see another thing in there. There is the testimony, the tabernacle of the temple of the testimony. Then we see this, not as the first were broken, but we see this as the unbroken of Joshua, as to the unveiled head of that of the semen of the Shekinah to the flesh. That is, as to the woman, rather than as of the man to the woman of the intellectual death, as to be carnally minded, a seed of life. Then we look and we see another thing. We see that numbers of them came with rods and said as thus, but Moses had a rod that was given to Aaron. He didn't use that rod. He represented the rod as to the veil, but it was given to Aaron to show that of the Joshua thing. And he took the rod and worked great miracles down in Egypt. Then when it came that these others came with their rods, the Lord said, intellectual, this is false. It's a diplomacy. Thinking of themselves too highly, not thinking soberly according to the measure of faith. These are they of diplomacies. No matter what their degree is, it has nothing to do with the mind of Christ. said, get your rod. I'll bring them all together. Aaron got his, and his budded. He said, this is my man right here. What did the budding mean? It meant the circumcision. Like a little flower comes out of the stem, and there's the head. That's the beauty. There's the flower. Like the Bible said, and the woman reaches the flower of her age as to that of the blood. Because at that time, she's ready for wedlock. So in this, as to the flow, there come the circumcision. Because it was the rod. And the rod is that it's not nursed as to the stones, as to the receptacles, as to the water tables. But going up into the tree, it becomes the sap. That is the blood realm. Because the sap represents the blood as to the blood of the grapes. And now it's mixed with that is whatever. It's called the Lord, even the branch. Shall come forth, the branch. I'll call him the branch. So then the sap is the blood world. And then we see another thing. We see the hidden manna. And this bread is in there in the golden pot. And there it is. And then we hear Jesus say, I am that bread from heaven. Moses didn't give you that. That is, I'm the seedman. I'm the seed. The bread is the seed as to the wheat planted to bring forth the life. So we see it again, the testicle and the rod and the seed. And we see this beautiful thing of what God has done with the seed, again in that beautiful thing of this pot. See how that it goes into the vagina and how it is there in the archive and the covering, as to say the lungs is the beautiful colors and the heart in here as the holiest of holies, as to within the blood. And we'd have to go body, soul, and spirit to get into these things to show you again what God has done in the behalf of you of putting you in that blood cell. And we could go on and on and on with thousands of things as to the detail. But I said these to bring about a continuity of taking a little bit of your time this morning to get it on tape. But if you go get the tape, whatever it would be, and go back through it and spend hours and days and months in the tape, you can go through it and it'll unveil and it'll unveil and it'll unveil. Like spiritual conquest, or as it would be as to the Kingdom of God book, as to these things of the elementary side that opens doors like steps to a house. Or as we say, with the many times, got about 3,200 tapes here, and outside of that, we have spent hours of day and night, 3 and 5, and all night long for 25 years outside of the ministry on the field of that is not recorded, except a little bit of the heart here and a little bit of the heart there, of the thousands and hundreds of thousands of things that belong to the revelation of Jesus Christ. For great is the mystery of godliness. And folks, we're living in the end of the world, and the carrying period is over, and this Billy Graham thing that's coming right now has to do with it, and it's the daylight, and we are children of the light. We're the positive, and the fire is to the life and the blood. It's no more the living soul. In that realm, it's gone. We've been made a quickening spirit. We have been translated into the kingdom of God. And the second man, Adam, now, we are a quickening spirit. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. As he is, so are we. And he is God, and so are you. As to the membership, as to the body of the woman being that of her husband, Mrs. Adam, or Adam, which was the Godhead, as the fall of one man to the wrong Godhead, as the intellectual. And then as the woman, as to that part of the body, bringing not three as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the middle rim of the dividing of the woman, the body, bringing four. And one of them, the infiltration, as Lucifer, as to the Jews, showing that as to the number of four, and the Trinity as to the Godhead. And these are to be three in one, the Father, the woman, and the child, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And this you might think on, as we said to the wife the other day, I'm fixing to let you go. I said, Betty, I want to ask you a question. Didn't Jacob have to fulfill the week of Leah? She said, yes. I said, didn't he have to fulfill the week of Rachel? Yes. He wanted Rachel, not Leah. And they crossed him up as to the father in the law. That's where Satan got in. And when he got in, magnifying the law, that is to say, the law magnifies sin. Sin gets its strength by the law. As to the father-in-law, so he crossed him up, and this is what happened. He didn't want the Jew or the flesh to start with. He that is a Jew outward is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly is Christ. He wanted Rachel, But he would redeem the Jew, and he had to take the Jew like you have to take the shell to get the egg. And so then when it comes to that, as to the allegorics, you have to take that as to get the revelation, as to the corn and the husk. And the beasts get the husk, we get the grain. So then they live off of that as the intellectual, we get the revelation. So when we say this, then we look at this, and we understand then that when he fulfilled those 2 weeks, he took both the Jew, the natural, the Jew, the spiritual. And we know how they both come together later at Rachel's death. As to the Jew going out spiritually, as to being changed, leaving nothing but the Jew as in the millennium, and there it'll be the natural Jew and the spiritual Jew combination. That's what Jesus will be sitting on the throne as a spiritual son, even a Jew as was with Paul, showing that it's Christ. Now, he worked 6 more years to get his wealth. And on the 7th, as we would say, it's going back to the Father's house, the crossing of the Jordan, the stone, Penuel, and the other things that we'd have to go through as to Esau. Going back to the birthright, which had been taken away from him. So I said to Betty, I said, now, how many years is that? And she said, 21. I said, what does it take to make 21? 3 times. She said, 7, 7, 7. That has to do with your male. I said, when is a man, Betty? She said, 21. I said, 3 times 7. She said, that's right. I said, but now let's take the woman. Let's look at her perspective. I said, when is she a woman? She said, 18. I said, Betty, what does it take 3 times to make 18? And she said, 6, 6, 6. Now, that's where it's at right there. If you bring it out in there, you can see it real clear. But the thing is, there's a lot to be said about that. As to the woman reaching her age at 18 for marriage, and the man has to go to 21. And with the Jew, and with the bride. So, I said those little things just to remind you that great is the mystery of godliness. And we are the ones it's given to know the mysteries. If you'll stand with me, I'll ask them to come back up to the music. Appreciate your kind attention, your concentrated efforts, and allowing me to get this on tape where they're recording it so that we can revert back to it as the others, as we fragmentally have put it on tape from time to time, from glory to glory. And these things, I wanted to say to you, you're my children, and I want to say them to you because you were born to the semen. And I want to present you without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that you be feeding off the hidden manna, that in this divine conception of that hidden manna, thus comes Christ as to the seedling of the wheat, so then ye are. And some are tares. But you eat of that wheat, and what you eat, that's what you are, scientists say. See, and so then there's the barley harvest as the cluster of one. There's the waving as to the resurrection of the first fruits. And there's 7 times 7 as to 49. And then there's one day as to the wheat harvest or Pentecost, the forgiveness of all sins, when the promise came as to the unveiling. No more the Jews, but to all nations as to their language. The fulfillment of the promise to Abraham, the seed to all nations, the father of all nations. Now, Sarah, symbolic of that New Jerusalem, realizing that 40 days Jesus was seen like the waters of Noah to me, John's baptism. And there he was, 40 days. But the barley harvest was 49 days, 7 times 7. So then there was 10 more days left because there had to be one day added to that 9 days, which would make the 10th day that when the Spirit returned, it would be 7 times 7, 49, as to ending the barley harvest. That with the ending of the barley harvest, then would come not as to the ashes of the red heifer or the goat, and then Jesus was made sin, the scapegoat or the dove that was sprinkled with the blood or the washing of regenerations as to the washing of the water of the Old Testament. See, it would come the ground meal as to the fulfillment of the allegorics, as to measures, rising from the dead, giving a measure unto whoever, and the time of the church ages as to the Gentiles and whatever. So the dove returned quickly. Everything's all right. That is Aaron. But he won't return quickly to the world. He'll come back as to the Jews, be wrath on the Jews as he appears in heaven, the first of the book of Revelation, the coming of the revelation, which is now, bringing on the tribulation period now. And with it coming, as it comes, tribulation to the world, but the revelation of Jesus Christ to us. See, for we're caught up into the third heaven. And with that, the heavens roll back as a scroll. And there's the hidden banner. There's the Ark of the Covenant. There's the book. There's the door open in heaven. There's Jesus. I dwell in heaven, the rent veil. They open. Peter opened it. John, the church. And there it is, the child caught up. Now, John, the beloved, the charity, the perfection. Who would have to say a lot about the eyes, the lambs, the horns? So when we see this, we see the 49 weeks of the harvest, the barley harvest, and the feast of weeks fulfilled. Then we see the wheat harvest as to the measure, which is the Gentile. When we see Daniel's prophecy, we see 70 weeks. And we see 7 times 7, for as Jacob fulfilled the years, a year to a day as to a week, to the Gentiles, to the Jews. And then when we see it, we see the Jews come right on up to Calvary. And we realize it's the same thing as to 40 days. And the number is 4 as to 4,000. And though it breaks as to the crown going down in Babylon, at the middle of the 7,000 years a day with God as 1,000 years, 3,500, it's carried on over to the 4, dividing of the 4 and 3 has to be as it is 4 with the trumpets, 3 with the woes as to the trumpet. Or as we would say, with the other things that we'd have to divide as to Jew and Gentile. And a lot we'd have to say there as to dividing as to the Christian and the Gentile. But coming on over, and then the barley harvest is over. And we see from the barley harvest as Calvary, no more Jews, no more as to one nation wavering, like as to America, one nation individual. We see now a united force coming up as to a collective thing, as that of the mark of Gorbachev, making the collection of the army to gather them all together against the remnant, as to the drying of the Euphrates, and as the man with the mark on his head, as to the man saying, America went into darkness, and saying a Chinese became the Pope. And the man with the mark of the three that we spoke of here a while back. See, we see that. And when we see that, we realize the carrying period is over. So then came, as from the Jews, the wheat harvest. And Pentecost brought in the wheat harvest. And we see the 40 days given to show the ark, like the waters of Noah. And then the 10 added to show the 9 days as to the end of the barley harvest and the 1 day as the wheat harvest coming in to make Pentecost, the forgiveness of sins as to the promise unto you and to your children and unto as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's sing a little chorus together.
Fill my cup, Lord, for I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Can you sing that with me? Have you asked the Lord to fill your cup? Have you lifted it up? Have just a cup of water I place within your hand, just a cup of water. That's all that I will demand. So let's be faithful. Ask him to fill the cup. I lift it up, Lord. Fill my cup. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. I'm asking God to do that. And I ask him to do that to say this as we sing this little chorus. Till the storm passes over, until the thunder rolls no more,
till the lightning, now remember they couldn't go into the temple, it's gone forever from the sky. Guide my feet, Lord, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm goes by. Sing it with me again. Until the storm, the altars are open. If you'd like to come, take a minute or two. I know it's late, but it's up to you. No one could enter into the temple while the lightning and the thundering was going on. But once Calvary came and Jesus took the wrath of God, no more was there fire. As to the wrath of God, that life should be in blood and cause the Lord to be in his wrath, never, no more. Now it's the beautiful clouds of refreshing. No more thundering and lightning as the fire rolling through the clouds of the lightning of the molecule. As to the wrath of God, but now it's a beautiful summer rain of that wonderful springtime blossoming to where the poppies, the face of the poppies are seen as representing the dead to the resurrection as they put them on the grave for the veterans. And as the voice of the turtle is heard in the land, as the dove coos to its mate, and as the turtle dove coos, and the Bible said, now the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. And sure enough, it's not you that speak, but the Heavenly Father cooing to his mate now. As he coos to his mate, it's time for the change. Immortality has been brought to light at the rent veil. And now the dove is cooing. And it's the dove age, and it's cooing to its mate. And as it calls to its mate, it's waiting for the change. For Job said, I shall wait for my change. And if you're not the mate, as to that body is the serpent seed, as to the image of that raven that's gone out to be carnally minded and feed on carnality and death, of the seed of that's no good out in the world, to the corruption of partying and of your intellectual brilliance of diplomacy and wanting businesses and always laughing and talking and gesturing and loud and boisterous, always joking and family and all this kind of partying and always coming together as family reunions and all these things of excitement, of vacationing and whatever. You didn't make it. But if you are the body of the dove, you're not in that war age of the lightning and the thunderings like the prophetical as to the Jewish nation in the wrath of God. But where the wrath of God is, there's law. Where there's no law, there's no death because there's no wrath. So then the law having passed away, now you're the beautiful dove. You are that dove. You don't have a gallbladder anymore to digest bitter things, so you had to get it all out of your system. And now you're that beautiful dove. You're that tender, gentle one that don't, you don't revile when you're reviled. You're tender. You're kind. You're sweet. I don't mean this wrong, but as to the Southerners, they used to be gentlemen, and they used to be ladies, and then they came from the area of the whiskey and the beer and those as to the war, and then it turned them all into sodomites and drunkards, and it came from the dark pits as to the interwovenness of that as to where it originated and infiltrated that as darkness infiltrated light. And it come and it brought death as to intellectual darkness to swallow up the world. And now darkness has come and light is going out, as we said about the Catholic religion from the days of Kennedy. And many things that we could say as to the change of the government, as to the little White House, and as to you being doves, and what it means as to immortality and the redemption of the body. So while we're standing here, lift your hands up. Remember, the end of the world is here. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you don't know that. Yes, I know that. See, the end of the world, remember, the world was the tree of knowledge, the intellectual, And the Bible said God has set the world in your heart. It's all a mind of intellectual, gullible desire, human reasoning, and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And he took that out and he put the kingdom of God within to them that belong to him, as to the Christ within the day, start dawning more and more to the change and to the perfect day of the millennium, back to the male. And it was Christ, the semen of life, the mind of the Lord, that's breaking forth his heavenly treasure now, having earthen vessels to break forth into these mortal genes to bring Seth. So give the blood atonement of Abel to spare Cain as to the times, as to Seth coming. So we see this in the wonderful things of God as to his posterity, and we see gross darkness covering the earth now, and we see what has happened, the conceit of intellectual indoctrination, the DDs and the PhDs, even the ministers running after their DDs, and they're going after the intellectual, and the whole world has gone into an intellectual darkness, whereas the Bible said, measure themselves by themselves, they're not wise, and go into the old house of prostitution of what the colleges really is and the schools really is, as to them mating together. The Bible said, like swine and dogs wallowing in the mire and lapping their vomit, and that with their old ball games and their old movies, as to that of Hollywood, we see the stars falling. And this also in the religious realms of the reflectors of this that has to do with the Billy Graham thing that's coming in a little while to show the moon falling and the stars coming down, in that they have taken into that ministry all of the rap music, all of the government, all of the ball games, all of the intellectual diplomacies, and all of the foolishness of the world to the comedies and the shows and the movie stars and whatever. And that's all coming to a head. All coming to a head right here, and suddenly it's in the year of the child. So I know that this don't penetrate to a lot of you, and you don't understand, and I realize that 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Just be glad if you're a child and you see any of it as to the new birth. But nevertheless, you need to apply yourself and become spiritual, or else you will not hear the voice of the Lord. The dove is cooing. You hear my voice as a natural man, as a father in the gospel. I've begotten you. I'm trying to lead you as children. But behind that voice and coming from the deep, calling to the deep, there is the wooing of the dove and the turtle dove that calls from within. And he calls to the deep and the wooing of his voice. And only those that come, as when children of God come, as it was in the days of Job, the sons of God came, and so come the sons of Satan. And within you, some of you, as your father, Satan is within you, and the love of the world, and you resort to the world, and your intellectual reasoning, and the desire of the world, and the lust of the flesh, and the quickening of the molecule, as to the human sensation of the stimulation of the semen unto death. And you come, but you have to give an account to the judgment for sin remission, or that which God forgives, retaining or remitting sin. Some of you come with the wonderful spirit, to the mind of Christ, the dove of that great Holy Ghost, that Christ, the babe within you, and the mind coming forth through the transformation of this wonderful mind of the Lord, of that new blood cell of the semen that's been placed in the vagina of your heart, that it might be made manifest as heavenly treasure within your mortal genes, as to the change of immortality from transformation of mind from glory to glory, as to the inspiration of the unveiled glory of this revelational manna, that you might be the dove body, and that without any bitterness, as to the change of the beautiful, glorious child of God, as to immortality, as this light is made manifest as the sun shining within your strength to eliminate the shadows of human reasoning, of death, sorrow, and poverty, and all those things from your environment, that you might live forever in peace. For all the paths of God are peace, and he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus hath perfect peace, and to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. So while you've got your hands up, While we worship God for just a few minutes, let's examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. The hearing of the word, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Their conscience seared with a hot iron, past feeling, to where they can do anything in the world and be charismatic, have anything like some of them does on the campground and around about. The old carnal hunger for the world on the inside, and still feel like that everything is all right because they do dwell in heaven, but the placenta is about to go out, and the nourishment of those is about to go out. And there were friends of the bridegroom, and there was the handmaidens of the bride chamber, but only to deliver the child. The servant does not stay always. When the night comes, the servant leaves, and the creatures of night into the darkness, but the child remains when the lights are turned on and stays there through the duration of the night until the great day star arises as Christ with healing in his wings. So while you've got your hands up, let's sing this little chorus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that has saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first for when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown.